how to handle what's handling you. The GOAT of professional football, they say, is Tom Brady. He of 8 championships. But in 2001, Tom Brady was a rookie, and he had just come in to his own as Drew Brees, the starting quarterback, was hurt. Tom Brady took over at the end of the season and led the team, the New England Patriots, to the Super Bowl. And there, prior to kickoff, the Super Bowl, there's lots of dancing and singing and pomp and circumstance before the game. And it is said that Tom Brady fell asleep for 20 or 30 minutes in front of his locker. And they asked him, were you just so relaxed that you were able to sleep and you were just so calm? And, you know, his lore grew, the legend of Tom Brady, before the biggest game of your entire career and before you could win the Super Bowl, you're just asleep. And he only made it with like 12 minutes to spare to put his pads back on to go back out and run out on the field when it was time. But he said, it wasn't that I was so relaxed or that I didn't have any trepidation or anxiety about this big game, but that I was so prepared that I felt comfortable enough. And he said, it wasn't my plan to fall asleep. I was just so prepared that I was sitting there and we're bored and the game is not going on because there's so much going on. It's not like a normal game. And I just fell asleep. And I think about that in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we've prepared ourselves in Him, when we keep ourselves prepared in the things of the Lord, it's very easy to have rest. It's very easy to be able to fall asleep. You know, our pharmaceutical companies are getting rich these days because people have problems falling asleep. And most of those folks that fall asleep, it's not a chemical imbalance. It's because of the stresses and the anxieties of the world keep them up, and it's very hard to fall asleep. And so melatonin is flying off the shelves, and Tylenol PMs and whatever else, Ambiens and these things to help people sleep. And what I find about that to be interesting, not a criticism of folks who take those things, but we have so many things going on in our mind that it's hard for us to find actual rest, isn't it? And we look today and we see these great verses of Scripture, and I want to talk about how to handle what's handling you. The stresses of the world, the cares of the world sometimes won't allow us to relax or to have rest or to have an ease of life, these burdens, and it's very stressful. But the Bible gives us an inclination here through the Word of God, through Jesus' own words, of how to handle what's handling you. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Number one, we need to take our burdens to the right place. Take your burdens to the right place. Jesus says, come unto me, not come unto your friends, not come unto your family. Some folks don't even know that they're going to a foe with their problems. They're telling someone who's going to go out and tell all your problems. They just want to hear it because they're nosy and they're going to go out and share all the things that you told them. But we need to take our burdens to the right place. You don't take a broken bicycle to the mechanic. You take it to the bicycle shop. You don't take a broken car to the preacher because he can't fix it. You take that to the place where it can be fixed. You take that to the place where it can be repaired. We must understand that in Jesus saying, come unto me, Jesus had prior just said that all things are delivered unto him from the Father in heaven, that all of our hardships, all of our burdens, all the things that are stressing us out, all our cares, all our anxieties, we must learn to bring to the proper place that is Jesus Christ. It's very easy to take our burdens somewhere else, isn't it? It's very easy to take our burdens to our bank account and say, oh, well, my money can fix it. It's very easy to take our burdens to political powers and say, they can fix it. It's very easy to take our burdens and put them upon our prideful body or our life or our brain. It's very easy to take our burdens and take them to other people and say, can you fix this? Or it's very easy, not a criticism, but to take our burdens to psychologists and psychiatrists and to doctors. But Jesus says, come unto me. I fear that Jesus is the last option rather than the first option in handling our burdens oftentimes. I fear that instead of praying first, If you pray, you don't have to worry. And if you worry, there's no reason to pray. But I fear this, that Jesus says in all things, I fear when our car breaks down, we call the mechanic before we ever call upon the name of the Lord. Now you say, well, Pastor, you just said we should call the right place. I understand that. But have you ever considered maybe you call upon Jesus, and if you talk to Jesus in the right fashion, maybe the mechanic's bill will be nothing. Maybe they'll say, oh, it's not too big of a deal. And then you don't give the mechanic the praise, but you can give God the praise for sending you to the mechanic that was honest, and God could have already fixed the car. I believe so strongly in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that if he should today, if the brakes went out on my car, that if he wants to, he could instantly say they're no longer broken. But I fear the reason why Jesus doesn't fix those types of things is because our faith is placed in the wrong place. Our handling of those burdens goes straight to call mechanic, straight to call AAA. And I'm not saying to you that every single issue that goes on in life, you're going to pray to God and he's going to fix it, this miraculous genie. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying as a matter of prayer that we're to take all things to him in prayer. Never says anything or promises anything that he can't provide. So if he says, come unto me with your sicknesses, come unto me with your hardships of friendships and relationship, come unto me with your griefs, come unto me with your stresses, come unto me with your financial problems, come unto me. God is not silent to his beloved. Now, sometimes the answer is not the answer you want to hear, but he's not ignoring you. I heard a lady in the California wildfires a few years back on the news, and she said, God is not present. He's absent. I don't know. He must be sleeping because our houses are burning down and all the cities are burning down. And I wish nobody asked me or gave me her number, but I wish I could have found out who that lady was. And I could have called her and said, no, ma'am, God's not sleeping or resting. But your first option was to attack God for not being there in your estimation, instead of calling upon God and saying, God, can we rebuild? Can we stop it from hurting anyone else? What's going on? That was a force of nature, not an act of God. Somebody probably threw a cigarette butt somewhere that sparked the fire or left the campfire burning. It wasn't God who sent the fire, but it's God who can stop and save you out of the fire. Instead of complaining about God not being there, she should have been thanking God that she wasn't in her house when it burned to the ground. All I'm saying is we come to God in these 911 prayers when we absolutely need it. I believe this, if instead of getting on the news and bashing God, if she would have got down on her knees and brought her burdens to God, we may have seen something miraculous in her life. Take your burdens to the right place. You know, it's interesting to me that there's so much to do in our world. There's so many places to go, and you can have a shop that specializes in certain things, but if we all like these certain things, we would all have a different opinion on which shop was the best at that certain thing. And so inside of that, if we were all today saying that we need to go to an ice cream parlor, and that one would say this is the best ice cream parlor, and one would say this is the best ice cream, and this is the best ice cream, we might have all different understandings. But listen, God takes care of things in different ways, but here's what we all understood. If you want good ice cream, you go to the ice cream parlor. If you want good ice cream, you go somewhere that's got ice cream. If you want blessings, go to the one who's able to bless. Come unto me. We need to take our burdens to the right place. Number two, you need to take your butts out of it. Now, I know what that sounds like. And I guess you could use it as a double entendre, actually, because it's both the same way. But when I use the word butts here, I mean B-U-T-S. Take your excuses out of it, not your physical dairy air, okay? And so if I said that in front of the kids, they would never recover. They would just giggle the entire rest of the service. And so I pray that being only with the adults today that you all will recover. But take your butts out of it. And I guess, like I said, it could be a double entendre, not what I intended and preparing, but I knew that it would probably mean a couple of different things to some different people. And, you know, then I thought about it, you know, other people, some people got bigger butts than others, but that's not what I meant either. That's not what I meant either. I meant B-U-T-S on that too. You can get yourself in a lot of trouble when you start talking in front of people for years, but that's not what I meant. B-U-T-S, okay? And so no one has accused me of mastering the English language, but this is where we're at. But you know, we need to take our butts out of it. But I can do it. But I got it. But I want it. But I need it. We need to take our butts out of the equation when handling what's handling us. We often have excuses. We often think about things that we could do to fix it or to solve the problem. Instead of understanding, Jesus says there, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. We have to understand the wording. To be heavy laden is to be overburdened with spiritual anxiety. When we get overwhelmed with the spiritual anxieties of the world, when we get overwhelmed with the things that are spiritually dragging us down, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. When we start getting overwhelmed, heavy laden with the things that we cannot change, that's exactly when you need to take your butt out of it. But God, I was a good mom. But God, I paid the bills. But God, I was a good spouse. But God, I've been a good employee. But God, I've been a good pastor. But God, I've been a good church member. Sometimes the butt in your life isn't going to be big enough to solve the issue. Sometimes, no matter how much you want it, the spiritual anxiety that comes with life and the burdens and the things that are handling you, they're just too big a butt for you to deal with, because it's not fleshly in nature, it's spiritual in nature. And so in order for you to have an impactful victory over that, you must go to the one who is able, exceedingly above and beyond even what you could ask for. This Jesus Christ says, bring it to me. Don't say, but Jesus, this is too small a deal for you to handle. I can handle this one on my own. Don't come to Jesus and say, but this is too big a deal for me to handle. Just believing, come asking and believing that he's able. Just come understanding to take yourself out of the equation, and it's much better. See, labor here means working to the point of weariness. Many Christians are guilty of working so hard in the spiritual realm, trying to do so many good things or righteous acts, or they're trying to think that they can do so much prayer, or so much reading, or so much church attendance, or so much service for the Lord, and they're working themselves to death, and that's not what Jesus asked us to do. He says, when you're working too hard, that's exactly when you need to come and lay it at my feet. Martha, Martha, you're buzzing all about. Mary's laying here at my feet. You need to stop serving and come get some of this. We get so busy in our lives trying to handle what's handling us, but the truth of the Word of God is we need to bring those things to God and allow him to be the one who handles it. When you get to the point of working, of overwhelmedness, when you get to the point of weariness and tired, see, labor can mean two things. There's lots of people who go to work, but they didn't work hard that day. And then there's others that go to work and work hard, and they work themselves down to the bone, and they got blisters and callus. There's different types of work. Sometimes we call them white collar or blue collar, but sometimes even at your job, you got the same job as your coworkers, but you work harder than your coworker. So they say, oh, today was such an easy day. And you walk out and say, this was a hard day. But listen, when you bring it to Jesus, he says, my, for God, the truth of the Word of God is there are things that are too hard for you and I in our flesh, but there's nothing that's too hard for God. Who would you rather have deal with it? The one who says it's easy and it's not too hard, or you and your fleshly frailties trying to take care of these things? You need to take your butts out of it. Stop putting so much pressure on yourself to take care of things spiritually that are God's to take care of. Wild animals who have been taken captive to zoos or wildlife preservation centers, oftentimes certain animals, they are innate hunters. And so these predatory species who are now in captivity that have nothing to hunt, when those folks who are working with the animals bring them food, they have no idea what to do with the food, or they have no interest because they want to go and hunt. It's like the animal is saying, yeah, I know that smells like food, but... And Christian, very similarly, we are the same way. We have a natural instinct. Our sin nature is to take care of things ourselves. And so when God comes laying the food right in front of us, we don't want to eat. We don't want to take it the easy way because we're so used to doing it the hard way. Anybody ever have a hard head? My mother used to tell me all the time, a hard head makes for a soft butt. And you know, I thought about this when I was growing up. I didn't get it, but the older I got and the more stuff that I did, where the Bible says to listen to the precepts of your father or the knowledge of your father and your mother and bind them around thy neck so that you have the right things and you understand. And the older I got, the more I realized this. You know, there was a lot of things I did in life that I did the hard way. That if I would have just listened, it would have been a lot easier. But I was so prideful and so caught up in myself, I wanted to do the hunting. I didn't want to be fed. I didn't want my parents to pay for this because I wanted to be a man. I didn't want somebody to give me this or make it easy. I wanted to go hunt. And just like that animal, the food was being brought to me right on my table on a silver platter. Either way, you're still eating, but one's much easier than the other. Jesus says, you don't have to hunt for your spiritual victories. I'm bringing, you bring what you need to me and I'll lay it out for you on a silver platter. Take your butts out of the equation and begin to allow God to handle what's handling you. And then number three, take your best rest. Take your best rest. Jesus says, and I will give you rest. And he doesn't say, I'll just give you rest. He later says, you're going to find rest unto your souls. When you come to me, what you're going to find out is you're going to have a rest. Have you ever had rest down in your soul? Not a physical rest, but a rest that's deep down where you're just calm and relaxed, serene, where there's no worries, there's no cares. You're not thinking about anything else. Your mind is shut off and turned off, and all you have is just joy and peace and comfort. And there in those moments of rest, they are few and far between in our lives, aren't they? Because there's always something on our minds. The bills need paid. The car needs gas. Oil change needs to be done. The pets need fed. The house needs new windows. The gutters are falling down. The driveway needs re-blacktop. There's always something going on in our lives. No matter how young or how old you are, there's always something going on. Even though they might not be able to communicate it, you watch the babies in the nursery and somebody's teething and somebody's trying to learn to walk and they got to get up and fall down 400 times. Somebody's ready to get out of the nursery because they're getting older and they just want to go and run with the rest of the kids. Somebody's being potty trained and they have to be taken and sat here and said, no matter what stage of life you're in, there's always something that needs to be done. You become a teenager and now you got deadlines for school and you might be trying to get your driver's license and graduation might be coming up. You get into your early 20s and 30s and now you got a mortgage and you got to make sure it's paid on time and a light bill and a gas bill and the boss is calling and breathing down your neck about this or that. You get into your 40s and 50s and now you're making sure you're taking care of your own kids and your grandkids and they need things and you get into your 60s and 70s and you might have retired, but as soon as you retire, that's when the work really begins because now everybody's calling you to help them with something or need you to do this. And so now you're preparing for church services. You're preparing for that. Listen, no matter what stage of life you're in, I learned this. My great aunt's in the nursing home down in Kentucky, and she's 80 years old. It's my grandmother's younger sister by 1 year, and her and my grandmother were on the phone, and my great aunt said this. She said, I hate this place. There's nothing but old people here. And I thought to myself, how many people there are older than you? And then my grandma, who's a year older than her, went to visit her, and she said, Rosie was right. It isn't anything but old people there. And I said, now this is ridiculous. And I said, Grandma, what do they do all day? And she said, they sit in the cafeteria cafeteria and wait for their meals. She said dinner wasn't until 5 o'clock and they were all out there at 2:30 waiting. Listen, even when you get to a nursing home, there's something to wait for and something you're just stressing about, ready to have. It doesn't matter what stage of life you're in. There's always something that has our mind not at rest. But Jesus says, come unto me and I will give you rest. Here you will find rest. When you're resting in Jesus, that is relaxation. That's the difference between vacation and a day off. Hear me. Some of you are this way. Vacation is to have a period of leisure or recreation. And so I understand when people go on vacation, sometimes they have an itinerary. Now, in my estimation, vacation is different than a day off because when I go on vacation, I don't want an itinerary. An itinerary says that we got to get up or we got to be somewhere at a certain time. But the difference between vacation and a day off or days off, or when you have a day off, that means you sleep until your eyes pop open. That means you just sit by the pool and read a book. That means that you just go get a massage. That means if you're of the right complexion, you just sit out in the sun and get a drink. You don't have to do anything. There's no deadline. There's nowhere to go. There's no time commitment. There's nobody that needs you. You can shut your brain off and you have complete rest. You're not worried about emergency. You're not worried about who needs this or what. You just turn it all the way off. And that's what God says we can have in Him if we'll bring it to Him. How can we handle what's handling us by taking those things to Him and allowing Him to take that pressure off of you so that your brain can be completely free? We always think about life, and I just said every part of life has some stresses and some things that you have to handle, but there are certain segments of life that are less stressful than others, let's be honest. I hear these young kids say, I can't wait till I grow up. And I say, yes, you can. You better accept being a kid as long as you can, because they say, well, school's so hard and I got chores and all these different things. And I always like to tell them, you know, I understand because it's relative to you, but just trust me, this is going to get much more stressful and much harder. And being grounded from your Game Boy or whatever they play these days isn't going to be the same as when your electric bill is way past due and you ain't got no lights at all. And, you know, I mean, it's going to be a different thing as you get older. But I hear them say, I just can't wait till I can grow up. I just can't wait till I can drive. But you know what they never think of? When you can drive, now you got the expectation to pay the car note or the expectation to pay the insurance or the expectation to take care of the vehicle, to wash the vehicle, to make sure the oil is changed, to put new brakes on it, to get the windshield wipers working the way they're supposed to be, to make sure the exhaust system, the transmission, all these different things, to make sure that it's got gas in it, to make sure the tires are aired up. You never think about all the things that come with those things, because in that moment, what they don't really realize is they have rest because somebody else has taken care of the stressful part, because somebody else has taken care of the work part, the labor part, the heavy laden part. As a little child, you think you're working hard. You think getting up and having to go to school. You know, these kids, they crack me up. I've learned this about this day and age's culture. They got more breaks from school than I ever remember in my life. They got spring break. They got after spring break. They got fall break. They got winter break. They got Christmas break. They got Christmas vacation. Now, I mean, they just make up stuff. They got teacher in-service days, but the teachers have decided in their union, we're going to go ahead and have teacher in-service on Thursday. We're just going to make Friday a school holiday, and so we're going to have a four-day weekend. And they partner those up with Monday holidays, so they'll say, you know what, let's partner this up with Martin Luther King Day. So now we're going to have a five-day holiday. 2 weeks later, spring break. I mean, they get more days off. I never heard of a day off of school for fog in my life. When we were young, you might have a delay for fog. I don't even remember that, but I certainly don't remember having school canceled. The last 5 years, my kids' school district have been canceled for fog at least five different times in the last 5 years. Never heard that in my life. Now, we used to have snow days. It had to be 3-4 inches of snow. Now, if it just has a little dipple-dapple of snow out there, they got a minimum of 2-hour delay. And I'm not complaining because I'm glad that people are safe and taken care of. But I am saying this. Kids think that life is just so hard. I think, y'all stay at home more than y'all go to school. And you think life is hard. Now, those of you who have worked and been in the workforce, those of you who have had children or had responsibilities, or those of you who are just adults and you've lived long enough, the boss don't care if it's foggy outside. You better have yourself to work. The audacity to think, as you go along here, the audacity to think, you know, I'm not going to show up today because it's awfully foggy outside. You better take your time and leave early. The boss don't care if it's snowing outside. Now, I know certain places and level threes and level twos and all these things, but not for just a little bit of snow, not for what they call in schools off for. Oh, no. Oh, I wish you would go into your boss and say, well, you know, we're off Monday anyway for the federal holiday. Why don't we just go ahead and take off Thursday and Friday as well? Don't work like that. Listen, life will bring things to you that are stressful, but while somebody else is taking care of it, I tell these kids, you better have some rest. You better enjoy, because there's more moments in a kid's day and a child's day where they got complete rest. They ain't thinking about nobody else. They're not thinking about where they got to go, where they got to be. Their mom probably is holding their schedule. All they got to do is be them. But wait till you got to start juggling 3 and 4 oranges, and you got to know where you're supposed to be and what time. Wait till you get to that age like me where you have to write it on a post-it note or have your secretary put it on a calendar, because if you don't, you know you're not going to remember that you were supposed to be somewhere at a certain time. And nobody feels sorry for you if you miss those things. If you miss it, you just miss it. Ain't no makeup work. But there's one named Jesus Christ of Nazareth who says you can bring all that anxiety, all that stress, all that wearisome work, all of that spiritual anxiety, that heavy laden, overburdened, all the things, you don't have to keep hunting. See, the kids, they've got that animalistic, well, I know my parents are feeding me, but I can't wait till I grow up. See, once that animal is at the zoo long enough, once that wild beast has stayed there long enough and realizes, you know, I don't have to hunt. I don't have to risk my life to eat. These people with funny hats and khaki-colored clothes eat and come in here and lay huge slabs of meat and flesh and fruit and vegetables, depending on what it is, and they're going to just lay it there, and I'm going to come, and people are going to cheer when I eat it. People are going to act as if it's exciting. When I was out there in the Serengeti trying to chase something down, nobody applauded what I was doing. Matter of fact, while I was out being a predator, most animals have another predator that's chasing them. But here I'm safe. And after they're there for a while, they've looked around and they realize nothing's trying to swoop down and get me. Nobody's up in a tree looking down trying to attack me. I don't have to look for a cobra trying to bite me. I can just go and I can get this food, and it's an all-you-can-eat buffet, and they're going to do this 2 or 3 times a day every week, and I don't have to do nothing. Once they get in their mind, I don't have to do anything for this, then they have complete rest in their souls. You ever go to the zoo and watch them animals? They're not worried about jack. They're just laying down. Oh, they sleeping. Zoo animals are the laziest animals on earth. They don't got to do nothing. They just chill. A lot of times you can't find them because they done found their cave and they're hidden back somewhere and they don't want to be bothered with nobody. But then, have you ever seen them at feeding time? And they come out there and they got the feet. They come out there and they're destroying that food. But they never attack the people because they say, somebody's got their hand and feed me. I'm going to work for this. God said, here I am. Now, I'm not saying God talks about being a slugger. He's not wanting you to lay around like some lion at the zoo not doing no work. That's not what he's saying. But he wants you to be in that station of rest and that comfortability, knowing that he's going to provide. The last time I checked, my Bible says, and he shall provide all your needs. eat. You worried about what we're going to eat. The last time I checked my Bible, he says, take no thought about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. Don't worry about any of that stuff. Even as I feed the little sparrow, even as I clothe the lilies of the field, so will I clothe you. But we're so worried about hunting. We're so worried about getting out. And if you'll just step back and you'll allow God to be God, God will feed you in the presence of his angels. And what's interesting about that is when you bring people together in a church setting like this, when you're getting fed, when you're getting what God wants, other people will stand up and clap and say, praise the Lord that you're getting fed that way. Then you'll be like a zoo animal. You ain't done nothing to get the blessing, but you got the blessing. And people are clapping and saying, oh, you have such a wonderful voice. Well, you know what? You didn't do nothing to get it. God fed you that. Oh, you just have such a wonderful ability and talent with people. You didn't do nothing to get it. God just gave you that. Oh, you're just such a wonderful spiritual prayer. You didn't do nothing to get it. God just fed you that. But isn't it amazing how people will stand up and clap for something that you didn't even work for? Listen. Allow God. You stop trying to handle what's handling you and start allowing God to handle the things that are handling you. Then you will find the mark of the scripture. Come unto me. You see him feed the alligators? You don't have to throw any chicken in the water for the alligator to come. When they hear the gate open from the keeper, here they all come, running on top of each other trying to get to that meat. When you come unto the Lord, watch this. This is good. If you don't get nothing else, get this. When you come unto the Lord with your problems, you don't even have to know the blessing's coming. Because your Father in heaven knows what you have need of before you ever even ask. Before he ever even opens the gate. You don't gotta wait. You just know that the door is open. And if you want to come, you can come and eat. Amen. I haven't been there for a while, but I love Golden Corral. People say, well, Golden Corral's food is so nasty and all this other stuff. Well, you have your own opinion. You think about how you want to think about it. More for me. But Golden Corral is thebomb.com. And if you don't like it, that's fine. You know, when I was a kid, we used to go to Ryan's, all this other stuff. I don't care about none of that. I like Golden Corral. And the first time I ever took my kids, see, in the country, in Wilmington, we didn't have a buffet there while my kids were growing up. So when we moved here, we moved right off of Miller Lane. And so we were about 5 minutes from Golden Corral. And I remember I took my kids, and it was just me and the four kids. And Chandra must have been out of town or something because nobody was cooking, I guess. I don't know. But I said, let's go to Golden Corral. And, you know, at that time, all of my kids were 12 and under. So it was super cheap to take my kids to Golden Corral because they all got the kids' meal and Daddy just got his thing. And we went through line. And I remember my kids saying this. They sat at the table because, you know, you go sit at the table and they bring you your drinks and you have a waitress, but then they'd never been to a buffet. And so they said, okay, so when do we order? I said, no, we just go up there. We just go get a plate and we go up there and get whatever you want. And my kids' eyes got this big. They said, we don't have to wait. No, just get your plate and go up there. You know, they're used to mama serving and me serving and making sure your little sister gets something. And, you know, they're making sure daddy gets the big piece of chicken and everything. And they're like, and, you know, the boys were like 12 and 11, so they're like super psyched up about this, right? And they're like, we can get whatever we want. I said, whatever. I said, you know, your desserts are right there. This sweet food's right here, chicken, pasta, pizza. They say, and they had to ask me like 3 times, whatever? And you know, obviously I paid for it, but in their mind, they're like, it's all free? That's how it looks to them. I say, well, it's not free. I said, but, you know, God has provided for us. I said, all we got to do when we come in here, it's already paid for. You can just go up there. I said, you can make as many trips as you want. I said, it's even this good, guys. You know, they worry about dishes in a family of six. I said, you can just leave your plate right there and get a new plate. You know, complete amazement. We don't got to clean up after ourselves. This lady keeps coming to our table, and all she's doing is refreshing drinks. She's not telling you stop. No, and they're just, you know, God says, come unto me, and it's a buffet spread of blessing. Really, the wise person would never go anywhere but Golden Corral to eat because it's a lot cheaper. Now, portion control is an issue for me personally, but it's a lot cheaper. It's cheaper for my family of six to go to Golden Corral than for my family of six to go to Skyline. And once I'm done at Skyline, I can't say, fill her back up again, Joe. No, no, no. The plate you got's what you got. If you want another one, you're going to pay another $12 for a five-way, right? But I think it's interesting. We have those butts. But I don't always want to eat at Golden Corral. But I don't always want to have that. But I, well, they got all kinds of stuff. You could eat chicken one day, fish the next day, steak the next day, pig the next time. I mean, you could be a vegetarian one day. You could just go eat desserts one day. I mean, they've got everything you want. But we're so like that as people. We turn our nose up at like you know, I don't like to eat that. And that's gross. And that's how we do to God. God's like, here's what I got for you. But then you've got the audacity to be stressing about, be thinking about. People say this, where you want to go to dinner? And that's like a stressful conversation with people. And the real answer is, why wouldn't we go to Golden Corral? Watch. Them lions and tigers and bears at the zoo are never thinking about what's being brought to them. They're going to eat whatever they get. Amen. And they're going to be happy. When you come unto the Lord, when you let Him handle what's handling you, what's our decision? What am I going to eat? What am I going to do? You're going to be like my kids. Your eyes are going to get open. We can have it all. We don't got to do no work for it. We don't got to do no dishes. We don't have to be stressed out about who likes this and who likes that. You know, that's a major decision. My four kids, somebody doesn't like this. Somebody don't like that. Somebody's allergic to this. Somebody's sensitive to that. You go to Golden Corral, there's something for everybody. God's got something for everybody. But the original command, He said, was come unto Me. Stop hunting it and start just going to be fed. And in those situations, God will handle what's handling you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this day You've given us. Lord, we ask now that You bless this time. Be with us as we depart today. Thank You for each and every person that's here today.